When you're in Jesus, you're bought at a price. You cannot be taken out of him. And you are called to love higher. You're called to go deeper. You're called to be more than what you could be on your own. So, here we go. Today we're going to talk about making a difference. You and I make a difference. Whether that difference is positive or negative is probably dependent on the day, right? But as a Christ follower, Jesus has something to say to you. And we're looking at this whole series about, this is just water, don't worry. So many people are like, you don't need coffee. Jesus shares this teaching on a hill. It's on a mountaintop, really. And last week we talked about how Moses had to go up on a mountaintop to get the teaching from God, to get the word from God. God himself, Jesus, he went on top of the mountain and he shared with people. Do you guys remember what the group was mixed up with? Not mixed up with, but mixed up of in that group? Who was in that group that came to hear him teach? Good job, huh? A little bit. Okay, good. Nice job. Very good. Committed and curious. And I asked you, which one are you? And some of you are committed. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm all in. I'm in Jesus. I'm wanting to learn. I'm willing to learn. I'm learning. And some of you are curious, like, okay, maybe my parents brought me here. Maybe my wife invited me. Maybe I'm here because I'm supposed to be. But some of you are drawn nearer and nearer to who it is that God is calling you to be. Jesus gives us these beatitudes where he says, this is what it's like to be my people. Not like if you do this, then you're my people. He's like, you're my people when you live like this. And so I wanted to share something with you that came at me as a result of just really just reading through the Bible on the YouVersion. Now I know that some people are like, oh gosh, YouVersion? Why would you use that? It's really, really sweet. There's lots of cool things on it. I do not recommend every teacher that's on there. I don't always recommend everything that I say. You better check what I say with what this say. But on YouVersion, there's a man named Nicky Gumbel. God used him in some mighty ways in my life in a ministry called Alpha. But he said this, remember that mountaintops encourage you. Mountaintop experience, right? You get to the mountaintop, it's great. But valleys mature you. Jesus finished the Beatitudes with, man, you're blessed. Woman, you're blessed. Child of mine, you're blessed when you're persecuted, when you're reviled, when you're treated poorly on my account. That's what he ended all of this. And the Beatitudes, the blessings, what's good for you, what's well for you, what's a treasure for you, what is life for you, can be really, really challenging. And then he kicks in to this. In Matthew 5, 13 through 16, right after he says, you're blessed when you're persecuted. You're the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Luke records this teaching as it's no longer good for anything, not even the manure pile. Whew. Gosh. You don't even know how to make fertilizer. You're so diluted. Now you're the light of the world, Jesus says. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. That pretty much makes sense, right? We have lights for a reason. Just really quick, because I'm just a basic person. Will you remind me why we have lights? Good. Basic, right? To illuminate, to see. So he's just saying, don't put it under a basket. Or in the NIV, says, don't put it under a bowl. And yet, how many of you have lights in your house that have shades on them? We want light. We just don't want too much. Unless we're trying to wake up our wife or our husband or our kids or that uncle that's still at your house. You know, get up. Listen to this. Instead, you put a light on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they see your good deeds, your good works, and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. So he goes from, here's all the blessings and what it looks like to be my people. Now look, I'm telling you people that you are salt of the earth. We usually kind of use that phrase, you're down to earth, you're just a great person. Jesus is saying something so significant. He is giving worth to his people. He's giving purpose to his people. He's calling us to something deeper, salt and light. Jesus himself says this. And so let me simply ask you today, what kind of salt and light are you? He doesn't say you could be salt. He says you are. I believe personally that he's talking to all the people that would have ears to hear. But there was people that were his disciples there, people that were committed, and people that were curious. And he's saying, look, you're salt and light. I believe that he's talking to his committed people, to the people that say, look, you're my everything. What do you got for me? Now, maybe you've been to a wedding, right? There's two people that are getting married. I do too, right? And that's all great. And there's a pastor or a friend that went online and got ordained or whatever, right? That's right there that's going to share a little message. Now, who's that person talking to when they're officiating a wedding? Yeah, the bride and the groom. And yet everybody else hears it too. Unless it's really bad sound. But there's people there that are being talked to directly, but there's other people who could benefit from it. And so wherever you're at, committed, curious, in the crowd, you're just kind of like, what? Is that guy talking? This could be for you. So what kind of salt and light are you? Are you diluted and muted? Or are you brine and shine? You're welcome. That's what happens when you listen to rap music all the time. Seriously, or do you just kind of like, I just kind of go with the flow? Or are you just like, look, I purify things. I bring light to it. I'm making things happen because of what's been done to me. Let's unpack this a little tiny bit. Back to Matthew 5:13. Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. We're not talking table salt. But it's kind of the same purpose. Salt has a purpose. And in that time, the purpose for salt was significant. Is preservation. It would actually help you with your thirst, just like it does now. Some people are like, oh, wait, man, that just makes you more thirsty. It actually can help you retain water. It's really cool. It's almost like it was designed that way. And God is saying to these people, Jesus, right, speaking to the people on the hill, God talking to his people directly, you're the salt of the earth. But when you get all diluted, you actually aren't making a difference. You just get trampled by people, and even that was actually a purpose for salt. If salt was no longer able to purify, it was no longer able to give taste, it was no longer able to be used in the main reasons why it was made, they'd throw it out into the road, and it would become a little bit of a hard pack on top. But you would be trampled by men. You're actually not making much of a difference. You're making things harder. And Jesus wasn't playing games. He was telling his people, you're my people. You are salt. Not it would be great if you would just get it together and be salt. It's like, I'm making you that way. But he warns them, right? And for me, I'm like, gosh, how does salt lose its saltiness? Sometimes it just stays old, gets all clumpy and all that. But as I was looking through this, I was like, oh, wow, there's some really cool original language stuff that I would never, ever, ever understand on my own. So somebody else smarter than me unpacked it for me, and I'm just going to bring it to you like it works for me. Lose your saltiness or lose your taste means to become foolish. And if you know what God says is right and good, and you still don't want it or you don't do it, friend, that's just foolish. And yet his people are foolish. And God's saying, let's not go with foolishness. Let's go with what I say is right. Let's go with what I say is good. Why don't you preserve this world rather than just let it go with the flow? My youth pastor used to say, get your mind out of the gutter. Have you ever heard that one? You ever used that one? My other youth pastor, who was right next to him, say, why? So yours can just float by? All these jokes, right? But the reality is, apart from Christ, not in Christ, we struggle. We become diluted. We become really not making much of a difference at all. And so I ask you again, when it comes to being salt, when it comes to preserving, when it comes to making things taste better in this world, are you that way? Or do you find yourself just kind of not making a difference at all? Nobody even knows. You guys, when that guy told me that I was part of a training video of what coaches shouldn't do, I felt like I had been trampled by men. And it wasn't anybody else's fault but mine. I can try and justify that. I wasn't a threat. No, there's rules, and I wasn't following them. And I'm forgiven, and I'm loved, and it's a great teaching opportunity. But that day, and if people go, watch this guy get thrown out of the game. Oh, yeah, and he's a pastor. I'm not perfect, but I'm the salt of the earth. Be better, Aaron. Do good things, guy. We can. Will you? Repentance. It doesn't say it in the passage, and I'm not trying to add anything to Jesus' language. I can only tell you this. If we're in his hand, we're protected, we're secure, then if we lose our saltiness, the only way to get it back is repentance. Come to him. Not just, oh, my bad, but like, God, I'm sorry. That was wrong. I need you. The only good news I have is your news. So often we try to dilute the message because it's a little too salty. Anybody ever run on a beach? Fun or no? Do you like it? I'm just curious. Do you like running on the beach? Kind of? It's a good workout, Nate? You're just like, whatever. Yeah. You like it? It's the fresh air. So as a youth pastor, I used to have all kinds of adventures, and I used to be in shape. And so I was sprinting with these guys to the water. We're on the beach. What kind of water are we talking about here? Okay, so we're on the same page. I'm actually doing pretty good, but it's because I'm racing eighth graders. Then I think maybe I'll win, right? But we're running, and really the winner just jumps into the water first. We're running, and I'm ahead pretty good, even through the soft stuff. But then we get to this kind of hard pack. You guys know what I'm talking about? It feels pretty good on your feet, and now you're really starting to get it. And I'm starting to think, oh, these guys are so done. And I'm sprinting, and then trip. Bam, I hit that hard pack on my side. I'm like, oh, gosh, that kind of stings a little bit, but I've got to win. And then I jumped right into the water. Yeah. It hurt so bad. I had like skinned myself from basically here all the way up to here. And I immediately knew that I had scratches. Salt will do that in a wound, right? You don't have to try to be offensive to people. If you're following Jesus, you're in Jesus, you're being the salt of the earth, and people don't want that, it's just going to be offensive. You don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to shove it in their face. But you will not be able to be mistaken for somebody who goes with the flow if you go against it. Jesus says it's blessed for you to hunger and thirst for righteousness, not whatever the world is hungering and thirsting for, which tends to be self-righteousness or whatever else. So, let's get to the light. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Jesus says, "You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house." How many people in the house? Maybe even people that don't want the light? Maybe people that are desperately looking for their car keys or their life? Somebody besides me used their little flashlight on their phone? Anybody besides me realize that that could wake up their spouse, so they just use the face of your phone? Anybody besides me use their phone light to look for their phone? Oh, gosh. Don't worry, I've looked for my glasses whilst wearing them. I've got it. I'm a brilliant person. Look, he says, give light to everyone in the house. That's what you do. In the same way that people put a light on a stand, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. So, Jesus, who actually is the light of the world, and we'll read that in a second, calls us the light of the world. We're the light of the world, you guys. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We're called to make a difference. And some of us don't want to make too much of a difference because that's expected, and that can be kind of hard to maintain. Well, that's where you're really going to need Jesus. Can anybody remind me what he said the most important commandment was? Yeah, to love him with everything and then love our neighbors as ourselves. How's that going for you? You said it was the most important thing, Nathan, and you're right. It's beautiful, and you thank God for love. How hard is it to do that? I think you're probably going to need him for that. I know I do. My wife doesn't, seem to need him as much as me, but she still needs him. My friend Nate Hedinga said, "I knew that my wife was a sinner because everybody's born with that and has that. But when we had children, she proved it." Yeah, why not? Just throw your wife under the bus. That's cool. Good job. If you're watching, you're welcome, and I love you. Okay. Look, I wanted to unpack light for a second. Let's go to Isaiah 42:6. It'll be up on the screen. If you have your Bibles, please get to that with me. I love this. This is one of many things in Isaiah about the light, but this is what it means in so many ways for us to be the light of the world. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I'll give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. This is outstanding. I will give you as a light for the nations. I've got you. I'm holding you. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand. I'm the Lord. I've called you in righteousness. And what I'm going to do with you is let you be a light for others. You get to come alongside of me, and we're going to show light. Light to the nations, not just to the Jews, not just to the people that were like them, but all the nations. Again, like I said, John 8:12, I'll just read it for you quickly. Jesus spoke to them saying, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is beautifully redundant. I'm the light of the world. You don't walk in darkness. You're in me. You have the light of life. So the light of the world means just that. You get to be light to the world. And you're plugged into the light source, Jesus. So this is wonderful. But what kind of light are you? Are you a light that's plugged into the source? Or are you a light that finds itself just kind of, it's just a little bit. Sorry, people on TV. I don't want too much. That can be offensive. I don't want to be a light that's so bright that people don't want to be around it. He's the light. Following him means that we're not walking in darkness, but that we actually have the light of life. And that's going to be too bright for some people. They may not want it. How about Jesus breaking this down about the end of time? People are either stoked about heaven or freaked out about it. Am I going? Am I not? Is there going to be pizza? Can I still be married? Is my dog Fifi going to be there? And if not, then I don't know if I want to go. Anybody ever have that thought that most human beings do? Gosh, when I get to heaven, I've got a few questions for God. You think that's how that's going to play out? I'm here. Thanks, it's gorgeous and everything. Whoa, streets of gold, good touch. But what about all those children that just got wiped out? What about that mom who absolutely did everything she was supposed to do and her husband abandoned her? And he was a pastor. Come on, God. Some of us don't want to be the light because we don't trust it. We're not sure that's really it. We see darkness and we accuse the light for it. Right? But how about this? Can we look at it a different way? How come, God, you're so good that those thorns ended up getting blackberries? How cool is that? That's fair. I have cleared them. Not very much. I'm a soft-handed minister. All right. Here's what he says in Matthew 13:43 about the end of all of it. After everybody has been divided, those who didn't want God and those who did, those who were in Jesus, those who weren't, after they're all separated, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. You want some more about the end times? I do. 1 Thessalonians 5:4 through 6. Let me tell you about how awesome our God is. He's not worried about the end of the story. He's already written it. He already knows, and he knows who's going to be with him. I want it to be all of us. But he's talking about the day of the Lord and how majestic and powerful and horrific that's going to be for some people. But you're not darkness or in darkness, brothers and sisters, for that day to surprise you like a thief. I mean, we should be expecting God to come. We should be expecting good things. We should want that to happen. Many of us are like, yes, God, I want you to come back. But not too soon. Some of us who have beautiful daughters want Jesus to come back right now. But our motivation isn't for his kingdom, it's for our comfort. And that'll happen also with him coming back, this terrible, beautiful, wonderful day of the Lord where he comes and everything is set right. And we're like, but I wanted to go to Italy first. I want to see my grandchildren. Your kids are 5. I know. And we tell God, your kingdom really for me feels more optional than essential. But he goes, but you're not in darkness, brothers and sisters, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you're all children of light. You're children of the day. We're not in the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Here's some application. Know who you are and live like it. We should be so stoked about the light coming that we're actually broadcasting it as a lifestyle and we're welcoming it like, let's go, let's bring in this rule and this reign. Does our world need it? Does your house need it? Your mom and dad are amazing. Look, you guys, it's not lost on me that I get to stand in front of people on a fairly regular basis, and now also with coaching, and tell people what to do. I'm only sharing with you, and I'm just straight up with you. Anybody that knows me outside of this particular location knows that I'm pretty much the same guy that you see up here. And that's frustrating sometimes to both of us, right? But it's also freeing. I'm not pretending. I'm desperately in need of Jesus. And I've got him. And I get to live him out. And sometimes it's really, really more tasteless than tasty and more muted than bright. And yet today's the only day I have. Yesterday's over. Tomorrow hasn't come. This is what we get to do. Would you join me in reading 1 John 1:5-10 as a summary on the greatness of God, the light of God, our role in it, and what we can do when we decide to go ahead and put a bowl over our light or a shade over our light. This is a message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we're in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Second time we've heard in 2 verses that he'll cleanse us from all of it. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You are both a sinner and a saint when you're in Jesus. The final word on you is completely saint. But you are going to make mistakes. You are going to be muted. You're going to be deluded. But there's times when you're going to be brine. You actually bring something to the decaying world that cannot save the world, but it actually preserves and allows people to hear the good news. You get to be the salt that melts away the hardness of life. This world's going to fall apart, but we can take people with us to the kingdom by being salt and light. This is a call for us to love higher, and I ask that you would allow Jesus to unpack in you where you might be struggling with that, or where you might have had victory and you could realize, oh, sweet, and like it says, in 1 John 5:9, if you blow it, when you blow it, you can confess your sins. That's bringing it into the light, you guys. Part of being in the light is admitting that you've dabbled in darkness, and you just let the light expose it. And it can be pretty offensive sometimes to say, all right, I was wrong. I need help. I need the light. So I have some discussion questions for you. I wanted to offer this up to you. I wanted to give you guys a chance. Please get our app. It's so much, there's so much packed on there, so many good things. But here you go. Who's Jesus addressing as salt and light? Why would Jesus give the Beatitudes and then remind his disciples to go ahead and live them out? What does Jesus say the reason is for letting our lights shine and letting others see your good works? What kind of salt and light are you? What's God calling you to? And that's got, I think it's got two O's because I misprint. Gosh, my daughter's going to eat that up. Will you pray with me as we pray for more and more of Jesus' disciples to live like children in the light and be lights to the nations? Father, today, we've been able to hear your word. We've been able to understand that you have called us to something so much greater than we could do on our own. You've called us the salt of the earth. You've called us the light of the world. So may we live that out. Jesus, pray for your disciples all over the world. I pray for more disciples. I pray for more people to come to you, to shine for you, that people would see their good works and praise you. God, may we not be about us, but about you. And you said, look, I'm with you, so you're salt and you're light. You're difference makers. Help us to believe that and to live that out. I pray this in the unmatched name of Jesus. Amen.